Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Scottish Watches podcast. This is the noise you're supposed to hear introducing.
It's a horrible noise. It's like nails down a blackboard. Cats climbing across glass windows.
Cats climbing across. Is that possible? I've never seen that. That's a new phrase in me.
It's one I just made up.
One you just made up.
Copyright registered by me.
Okay, that's cool. Strangely, there's a little bit of people dealing with copyrights and copying each other today.
Really?
Some news breaking.
That's absolutely minging.
It's a very poor thing to do, to copy other people's work. It is a bit minging. Mm-hmm. But there you go. Here's a good Scottish phrase for you. Which was always my problem with those watches. Ming. It's difficult. Anyway.
Well, it's like when they brought out that big, massive vehicle called the Hummer. In Scotland, getting a Hummer from somebody's something a little bit different.
Right, okay. I'll leave everyone to Google Urban Dictionary for the Scottish edition of that.
How good was anyway, that? 1 minute in.
1 minute in, first Urban Dictionary, and yep. It's not even Dave you've got on the other side of the phone.
How good was Dave's episode?
Dave's episode was very good, except for the complete open goal. So you guys are talking about what has happened to the Apollo 10 landing vehicle, and Dave's saying it's orbiting the moon, it's orbiting the sun. He can't quite decide which it's doing. It's orbiting the sun as it happens. And I'm sitting there just going, surely one of you is thinking, yes, they found it. It was in a sound stage somewhere in Southern California. I'm just thinking, with all your conspiracy theory chat, how are you? You've got to remember your heritage and your roots,
right?
And remember the good old fashioned conspiracy theories, like we didn't make it to the moon. There we go.
Dave believes that we did, and I'm not going to upset Dave. He's trying to get me a loaner watch from Mont Blanc that we can talk about later on.
Is he? Oh, yeah. Is that right? Okay, yeah. Dave, we believe in you.
We believe in Dave. We'll believe anything he says. But that meme that I put up that we spoke about where it says, you know, government says work from home, NASA, picture of a lander on a soundstage. So we play
got
the game.
Covered.
Right, okay, wrist check.
I am not wearing the Panerai.
Oh.
I have on a loaner watch. Yes, strictly speaking, it is a loaner watch. So during a period of lockdown, all postal services in the UK have ceased.
Really?
So it's simply impossible to send it back. I can't send anything. Maybe it's just an Ayrshire thing. Mm. Maybe it's just around where I live.
It's because the watches are too heavy for the pigeon's legs.
Ah, right, okay. So I've got the Oleg & Weiss dive watch, the 1,000 metre diver. Mm-hmm. It's very nice. I do like it quite a lot.
Do you do that when you're trying to unblock the bottom of your septic tank?
What?
Is that
like
what you wear?
Quite a lot. No. To be fair, the Panerai is perfectly suitable for that.
Okay. That explains the wrist cheese.
It does. It is a bit dusty, it has to be said. Mm-hmm. There's a bit of Ming about the strap, rubber Panerai strap. That okay. Anyway, shall we? Should we dive into this latest Scotland Yard watches? So, this is breaking
Rick,
we speak. Yes.
Rick.
What? Oh, sorry. What are you wearing?
Thank you, Rick. You're such a fanny. Right. Well, guess what? You're talking about postal services. I had a bit of a rant in the episode that went out Friday there, which we'd recorded over a week prior, saying, I'm expecting a watch from America, from Australia, by way of America, and it hasn't arrived yet. Well, holy shit, have I had all kinds of hassle with Royal Mail. So maybe you were telling the truth.
Uh-huh.
I went on to Royal Mail to pay a customs charge to get a loan of a watch.
Right.
Paid the charge. It said, when do you want it? I said, last Saturday. It said, fine. Nothing turned up. Nothing turned up Monday. Nothing turned up Tuesday. I thought, oh, here we go. So I pinned the postie when he turned up on Wednesday and said, where is this? Oh, well, we've had some issues, blah, blah, blah. So I went back on the website and there was no recollection of anything to do with me having paid anything to anybody. Royal Mail didn't know about it. PayPal hadn't processed it. So finally found out what was going on, went into PayPal, tried to cancel it because it said Royal Mail hadn't taken the money yet, which is really odd, it's automated. Couldn't cancel it. Mm-hmm. Then I tried phoning Royal Mail, they said it'd be 2 hours to wait on the phone for somebody. I got really pissed off and I thought, what do you do when you're an upset consumer? Ah, you go to Twitter. So I went to Twitter.
Absolutely.
And I found Royal Mail and then I found Royal Mail Help and I pinged them an open tweet that said, this is my situation. Yep. They got back within an hour and said, right, try this. And they gave me such a clue to try and get it to work, and it did. They said, go on the website, pretend you don't have a reference number, don't click the customs bit, just say you've got a fee to pay the full amount,
right,
and it'll turn up. And it did. Cool. What a backhanded way of doing things. Probably some kind of Ayrshire shenanigans going on there. So anyway, long story short, my wrist check is finally TGV drum roll. The MAS, which is the Matthew and Sons JCB watch. Nothing to do with tractors, okay. diggers, gaps in teeth, or even Jean-Claude Biver. But this is the watch that I've been waiting on for a while because it's got a thistle on the back. And I said to you earlier today, the reason I was quite chuffed and happy about trying to see this thing is the thistle reminds me of the 1986 Commonwealth Games commemorative limited edition £2 coin that I got when I was just a little nipper. And I don't wear dress watches. I really don't care for them, so I really don't know why I've got this compared to you getting a hold of it, but it's actually really nice. And
it's because they want it back.
Ah, is that what it is? They want it back. Well, absolutely. I'll give you a quick run through. So it's on genuine leather strap, kind of croc print on the front. This one here is the rose gold one, automatic. Do I actually know what size it is? I think it's 38 or 39. It's got screw down crown. Indices are very nice. It's polished. It's also got numerals if you wish or you don't. You can have it without. Very thin second hand, Miota movement. As I say, it's got the case back with a thistle on there. And the surprise for me was when I took it back in from getting shots in sunlight, yes, in Scotland, sunlight, it usually would have a green luminescence to it. This one has got blue. And I don't know if it's super luminova stuff or not, but it lasted quite a while when I took it in. And it's got a little bit of a dip in the centre. So the actual dial drops down to, I don't know, is that a stepped arrangement, maybe? Is that what it's called? It's a bit like the Polaris from JLC or some of the Fierce watches. And it wears really well. I mean, I would, unless I'm going to court again, and who knows with this lockdown and if I can be bothered to stay in. But yeah, I actually quite like it. And if I was going anywhere where I would need to be funerals, weddings, or their other, yeah, I'd say I'd look at it. So this one, it is on Kickstarter just now. I believe they have funded, but obviously you can get yourself a deal if you jump on there and put your name down. They've got lots of different options. As I say, numerals without, different colours of dial, different arrangements of material. So yeah, check it out, and we'll put something in the show notes as well, and I'll get some shots of this. Now, it's finally arrived up on the Instagrams.
Cool, so it's not a minging watch.
It's not minging. Now, why do we keep talking about Ming? Is it as if something's happening in our WhatsApp writers group?
So yes, it's all kicking off. Because, you know, for those of you that are in our WhatsApp writers group, and there's like a dozen or so people, they will know that very occasionally you will look at that group and it will suddenly have like 101 unread messages because something has occurred.
Mine doesn't show past 999 plus.
I guess because you never read anything, that's right.
No.
So anyway, this morning, literally 10 minutes ago, I looked over getting ready for doing this and saw that clearly something was abound.
Right.
Now, normally that's just because Sophie's been drinking. but on this particular occasion, it was Gigi who started it, I think, by saying that he had just been on the Ming. So Ming watches had a brand new release this morning. It's been trailed for quite a long time, the Ming 27.01.
Okay.
And this is what they have badged as being their new design language for 2020. 125 watches was released this morning. I think they were around about $4,000 each. Sold out inside 15 minutes, and Gigi was celebrating that he had managed to get himself one.
So that's a Hodinkee thing?
No, I don't think so. I think Hodinkee have been involved.
Right, so it's sold out super quick without Hodinkee being involved?
No, I think Hodinkee probably, I mean, it's on Hodinkee's front page.
So okay.
I think they're involved to the extent that they know. It's a guy's name, is it Ming Tae?
The Merciless.
The Merciless. Anyway, so then it has kicked off because going backwards and forwards, somebody has spotted, and this is a brand which I've come across called Holthenrichs, obviously related to us with the Rick in it, although it's an H. So Holthenrichs, I'm assuming it's pronounced Holthenrichs rather than Holthenrichs, because that's something entirely different. Anyway, it has been noted that Holthenrichs have a watch which has incredibly similar lugs on it to this Ming. Now, that's fair enough. However, it has also been noted, apparently, allegedly, what other words can I say just in case this all turns out to be nonsense, that somebody from Ming had previously visited Holthenrichs and may have been, shall we say, influenced as part of their new design language by somebody else's design language from a number of years ago. So there is apparently all sorts of shenanigans going on in the background. Fratello have made reference to the influence of the 1159, blimey, the code 1159's influence something, and the Holthenrich's Ornament 1. I think this story might run for a little bit, because there's other stuff that's in our writers group that even I am not prepared to commit to audio just yet. But there does seem to be a conversation going on between maybe company owners, maybe just suggesting that this isn't really.
So was it
cricket,
ripped off, allegedly?
Allegedly, it would appear to be the lugs. So these sculpted lugs, but also if you actually just look at the two watches, they're pretty similar. Now, I think the argument that Ming will have is, yeah, of course they're similar. They're round, they've got lugs, they've got hands on them. I think there's... strikes me there's maybe something a bit more personal going on here. So we'll see how that plays out. In any event, Ming have sold 125 of these 4 grand watches inside 15 minutes.
Right.
So one would imagine that they are pretty happy. But so go and have a look.
I'm looking at it right now, and the only thing I can spot with the lugs is that they flare outwards.
Yes. So that is a design. That design. Well, if you look at the back of the watch, but that design feature. Anyway, you can go and check it out. We'll stick it in the show notes. There you go. That's today's... hot gossip.
Cool. Well, speaking of watches that might be hard to come by, there is a limited edition that has come out that I spotted and reposted a few days ago on our Instagram. Guys, get on our Instagram, follow us. We're nearly at 10,000, and that's when we get all the free cocaine and hookers, so get following.
Yep.
And this one here is from Doxa. It's a Doxa Sub 300 Carbon Aqualung US Divers Limited Edition. Black, yellow, and white. And it's very much like my Apollo 8 Speedmaster, but... I don't know if it would be smaller.
It's about the same. To be fair, it's about the same price as your Speedmaster. It's quite a step up for Docs, in my opinion.
Right, let's have a look. Right, it says here that it's $4,790, and I think we were told it's $4,500 UK. So that is pricey. Whereas, yeah, the one I've got is the Apollo 8, and that's about $8,000 or something like that.
So, okay, you're going to give me a row because I've just typed something while we're recording. But let's go to the enviable James Porter & Son website, because Simon sells Doxas.
He's going to get these in.
He'll get these in. He'll sell more of these than anybody else probably in the UK.
Well, there only are two people in the UK that sells them.
It is on his website as we speak for $4,590. So, yeah, it is what it is. It's quite a nice-looking watch, but it is a sub-300.
That's what I said.
But the sub-1500, which is Doxa's most advanced thing, is...
not made of carbon. That isn't quite as water-resistant.
But it's 2290, so it is a it's nearly double anything else that they're doing. It's quite elite.
It's a lot of dosh, and I had said if it was about $2,000... that was kind of, good, okay. But at more than double that, it is a little bit pricey. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, it will fly off the shelf. I mean, already Simon had said that he's had a lot of people been in touch immediately. The news broke on Instagram, and a lot of people were very, very quick to drop him messages. But he is one of only two in the UK, as I said, that have got access to this. And he's already had people from Sweden messaging saying, can I have it and send it? But he can't send out with the UK. Because Doxa are very stringent on things. And if you think the pricing is a bit high...
Come and have a word with us. We'll sort it out for you. We'll give you a forwarding address.
In Guernsey. So that's fine. but no, if you think the price is a little bit weird because the US price is quite similar to the UK price, Simon obviously follows what Doxa says. So it's not like anyone's gouging because it's a limited edition.
Well, there's Valen as well. But $4,600 grand... $4,600?
You sound like that woman in the press.
Priti Patel and Donald Trump. 4,500,753. This is quite a step. I mean, it's an ETA 2824-2. If Bremont had a go and done this with that movement at that price, we'd be giving them a kicking.
Yeah.
I'm not sure where is the value in this. I mean, is carbon twice the price to do than steel?
According to Zenith, yes. But real life, no.
Right, okay. So,
we might have a guest from Zenith on soon.
Oh, right, okay. Who?
I don't know. Can't remember. I got an email. Okay. You'll find out when you get a WhatsApp call and you see that there's like a Swiss number added into the conversation.
All right.
That'll be your cue. Anyway, moving on cue. From that. Okay. That's us managed to get through some watch content. Let's move into more watch content. HYT have got another H0, and this has got a nice orange and black colourway. So we obviously made a video with Pietro from Limited Edition when he was up just before lockdown, and I got my hands on one of his H0s with the green, and this is orange. Now, was orange not said to be a more vibrant colour, and that's why they used it in dive watches? Is that... Obviously, this is not a dive watch. I'm not implying that. I'm just trying to make idle conversation.
HYT produced a dive watch. It's a very clear. That's why docs are used the orange background on the 1200s and all the rest of it.
Well, this is quite a good-looking little guy. It's obviously very, very similar to the previous one. Differences are it's all blacked out, so even the, as Pietro likes to say, the NASA technology, the little bellows inside, they are all coated black. And the only thing you can actually see is the fluid and the hands, really. But no, it's, that green one has been a bit of a star on our YouTube channel. If you've not seen that video, go check it out. We've actually quite a few videos uploaded. I wonder why. It's as if I've got a new computer or something. But yep, that's on our YouTube channel. And
I quite like the HYTs, I have to say, now that I've seen one in the flesh.
Yeah.
I mean, they're frighteningly expensive.
Yeah.
But actually, I can understand where the value is in that. There's some proper... tech.
It's engineering, tech, R&D, and it's $5,000 for the tiny amount of fluid that is actually inside the watch itself. And you need to watch the video to explain how it tells time. It is clever, and there's things in there you wouldn't have thought of, like, well, it needs to be accurately telling time while pumping liquid round, and liquids adapt to different pressures and altitude and temperatures and everything else, so they need to have all these compensations built in. There's no electronics, it's all completely mechanically driven. So good video, check it out. And thanks to HYT for also agreeing to come on the podcast, so we're going to have one of their head honchos on a show soon as well. It's as if people are sitting around in their underpants doing nothing at the moment.
Yeah, you do get the impression. I mean,
do you get that?
We thought we were pushing our luck by doing a podcast in the kind of anyone can do a podcast, but it turns out actually anyone can just go on Instagram Live and just spraff for an hour.
Yeah,
I mean, even Dan's having a go at it.
Which,
I mean,
Dan?
Can you believe that? Dan, who occasionally does stuff.
See, that's my fault. I got him on our Instagram and he thought...
Who let him loose?
Me. That was my fault. Sorry, guys.
Does anybody really need to talk about Breitling for an hour?
George,
I like Breitling, but an hour's worth of Breitling chat with Dan, who occasionally fumbles the ball, is just... I can't stand it.
Well, he's never fumbled my balls. You're lucky. Well, speaking of how easy it is to do Instagram lives and podcasts, news just broke as we were recording this and as we were finding out about Ming been up to no good, that the New York Times have published an article on the, I'd say the best watch podcasts. And I think they've ran it in reverse order and made a mistake with the last one. So yeah, we are featured in a New York Times article that has been worked on for quite some time, and it features...
More specifically, you are
done yet. I'm not done yet. Be shushed. Right? So I got a message from one of the journalist reporters from the States, and I think this is by way of Floatlight, because if anything good happens in my life, it's generally him or Tinder, and I don't think Tinder had anything to do with this one, unless passport mode was activated again. But this journalist got in touch with me.
Hold on a second. Passport mode? Is that a joke or is that a real thing?
Passport mode is currently what has been used by Tinder, so people in different locations can chat with people in other locations that are not within the locale.
Right, okay.
And it's a complete pain in the arse, because then you match with people and you're like, oh, she's cool. Oh, match with that. Oh, she's 4,000 miles away? No thanks. So this article's gone out. It features Hodinkee, naturally. It's also got the Grey NATO, which is Hodinkee Light. Then it's got 10 and 2 and ourselves and the two broke watch snobs, and that pretty
and
much...
And Warren and Round. Don't forget Warren Round.
Are they in there as well?
Yeah, because Zach will complain.
Really?
He'll just moan if he gets missed out.
Oh, okay. Well, I was quickly scrolling because I was on the phone to you looking at this as you're trying to load up Tor and create accounts to actually view the article. So, go and check that out. And if you can't be bothered, we'll probably just take we'll get a PDF of it. Rick, you can print it out and take photos of it with your phone.
Scan it. That's fine. I see you've put your favourite photograph of yourself in the article.
I think she got that from a Facebook page.
I was going to say, do you not want to... you should really have got her to put whatever your Tinder ID is down at the bottom of it.
It changes all the time.
Oh, is that right? Okay.
No. I'm not actually on Tinder just now.
And apparently I declined to share my surname, a decision that you said stems from an online shaming episode in the past. Very well done. Well played. Well, hold on. Well played, son. Well played.
Did I say that?
Well played.
I can't remember.
Yes, you did.
I made up something. No, they were adamant they wanted your surname, and I had to come
was
up with
right?
I think I said that you'd, like, people had attacked your family or something online. I don't know. I said something. I don't know what I said. What, I made what, up some gibberish. What,
yes, I'm sure.
So, yeah,
that's very good. That's very good.
Looks like the New York Times are very good at fact-checking things, so you can have a good giggle at our expense. And Rick is not featured in this. There's photos of everybody apart from Rick for obvious reasons.
It's very good. It's very good.
Yeah.
Michael Pignatti from the Two Broke Watch Knobs. I think that's probably his serial killer photo.
Is he the brown one?
No, well, they're both technically, but no, that's Kaz.
Right, because he made a point in one of the recent
Michael
episodes.
Michael appears to be wearing a cagoule.
Well, Kaz made a point in one of the recent episodes that people kind of change their opinion of him when they find out he's not white.
Yeah.
And I was like, really? Because I've seen his photo before, and I can't remember, obviously, who is who. There's two of them. People get us mixed up for the same name. But no, it was good to see. And all those podcasts I actually listened to, maybe not the Grey NATO. But yeah, good article, so go check it out, guys. Next, cool. Mont Blanc. What have they been up to?
Yes, they've produced the... Tory Party Dream Watch.
Oh,
so for all those Leave voters out there, Mont Blanc
is this the Farage edition?
This is the Farage edition. Have produced a watch. It is a single hander, but like a Meissner Singer, with a. It's part of their 1858 collection, so it's all about mountaineering and world travel. So it has a world map on it. Unfortunately, the world map is missing Great Britain. It's got Ireland. It appears actually to have the whole of Ireland. So they've got a united Ireland, but and they've got like the Faroe Isles and what I think might be Shetland. But they appear to have missed out the rest of the UK, which is hysterically funny, if nothing else.
Have we had any word on why?
I suspect, I mean, the French are bound to be involved somewhere.
Okay. But why is Scotland not in it? Because we get on with everybody.
Well, that's true. The old alliance. Mm-hmm. I'm just looking for a picture here. So, yeah, it is. It's a bit of a mess. It's very funny. And it's not like that somehow the map needed the UK removed because of where the hands were going, because there's only one.
Is this my fault? Did I do this? Is this because when we had Davide Sonato on the show that I gave him a hard time and said that it actually should have Ben Nevis as one of the points?
I mean, it's not just a little bit missing. It's actually all missing. It's very strange indeed. I mean, they've got like Tenerife and all these wee islands in the Atlantic. Noted. They've got like, it's very odd. Very odd indeed. But you need to go and check this out.
Nobody actually knows why.
I've not heard anybody. Should we? If it wasn't the fact that I was on the phone to you right now, I would suggest we phone up Mont Blanc and ask them.
Well, I actually just messaged Floatlight about 10 minutes before we recorded this. Hold on, here comes the fart for this episode. Oh, it was a silent one, right. So I asked Floatlight if he could get his grubby little mitts on the new Mont Blanc 1858 Geosphere in stainless steel with blue bits. And he says he is going to make arrangements. So I will also ask him if he can inquire as to why the UK doesn't exist anymore.
Well, I mean, worst things happen to see, I suppose. But maybe it's prophetic.
Potentially. Although I heard Wee Nippy was going to enforce border patrol to stop all the English coming up here with coronavirus.
Wee Nippy.
That's not what she's called.
For those of you listening elsewhere, that is the nickname given to our great leader, Nicola Sturgeon, Wee Nippy. Mm-hmm. She's from around these parts.
Is she?
But there you go. Okay. Yeah.
Don't take that as I don't like the SNP, because I don't care about anything. I'm an equal opportunities hater. I hate everybody equally.
Don't I know it?
Yeah.
Anyway,
so did you see this Geosphere?
I'm just looking for a recent picture of it. I can't actually find it. But yes, I have seen it.
Well, imagine it's not made of bronze and it's made of steel. And imagine it's not green and it's blue. And that's what it is.
Is it limited edition?
No.
Is it on a bun strap like the last one was? Because the bun was cool.
No, it's not. That's a good point, actually. I'll have to quiz Dave a little bit more pillow talk for Floatlight on that one. But no, cool. I like it because it's okay. Blue, and obviously blue.
So that was part of the Watches and Wonders
Rick,
release.
Shush. This is, we're doing a stealth Watches and Wonders episode because we kind of didn't.
I was more thinking like we've let the kiddies have their shot. Should the big boys now not get a go?
Is this where you let the children draw with crayons and then you just kind of do it properly in ink later on?
So
yeah, that's about
exactly.
Right.
Exactly. So they've kind of dived in there. It's now time for the people that know what they're talking about to give their opinion.
Yeah, good. That's what happens when you get so far ahead of the game. You've got two episodes in the can, and then Watches and Wonders happens. Yeah, what was the surprise?
The floatlight show. I didn't know it was coming.
I told you it was happening. You'd
done it. Yeah, after you'd done it.
No, I told you it was happening, and then he had like bounced out of it a couple of times, and then he finally turned up and done it.
Oh, is that right?
Did you not listen to anything?
That was very good. No, I listened to nothing you tell me. Why would anybody listen to anything you tell them? It's bad enough that I have to re-listen to these episodes to occasionally do the show notes.
I know.
Maybe we should get Dan to do them. Dan can then be Dan occasionally does the show notes.
What did you think of the episode then? Did you like the Harry Enfield references?
It was a good episode. Smashy and Nicey. I was never a big Smashy and Nicey fan, but I do appreciate the humour. I do get the joke.
Good.
It did sound exactly like Smashy and Nicey. Your impression was quite good.
Why, thank you.
It was pretty decent. Clearly that was a schoolboy effort. Clearly that was your schoolboy trick.
Not half.
Was Smashy and Nicey. references. Fluff Alan Fluff Freeman. Yes, he was.
That's what it was
like
based on. Remember they actually got him on the show and he looked like a Dalek?
Yes, they did. Yes.
One
of my favourite DJs of old, who I think is still not in prison.
I think he's probably still in the graveyard.
I don't know. When did Alan Freeman die?
Probably a while ago.
Hold on, type in. God. Freeman DJ. Type in clickety clank. Alan Freeman DJ. Alan Freeman died November 2006. Was a boy, maybe was it that long
Rick,
ago?
Rick, he just died a minute ago. We should definitely do an episode talking about him and his watches.
Yes, Roger Moore.
Oopsie daisy.
He does it. The only problem is when you click on photos of him, it also brings up other photos you might be interested in, and it's Jimmy Savile.
Oh.
There we go. He does appear to have been a watch guy. Like, he certainly had different ones.
Rick, it was a joke. Let's move on.
Yeah, I know.
You're killing it.
So are we talking about Watches and Wonders then?
Well, we kind of have been, and we're already up about half an hour, so let's just carry on. Now, you like the Rainbow Data one, don't you?
I do. Big fan.
But you're not going to get one, are you?
No, although somebody did drop in our Facebook group a source of complete rip-off to the extent that it says Rolex on the dial. So not just an homage, but an actual source of ripped-off Rolex Daytonas. And these were 1,500 quid. And, okay, it's obviously not gold and it's glass rather than actual jewels.
Is that in Aussie dollars?
No. This was in general Swiss, genuine Swiss francs. It wasn't a horology house special.
Okay.
But it's obviously, it just made me, maybe it's just being stuck in the house made me go, yeah, why not? Just buy one of them, spend 1,500 quid in a fake Daytona. Or maybe it was actually, I kind of fancy getting one of these into.
Have you been getting high on the manure again?
Yeah, probably. But yeah, I'm a big fan of the Rainbow Daytona. And the Hublot. The Hublot is good too. Like the Hublot. The Hublot Rainbow.
Okay. Well, anyway, nice. Parmigiani have got a new Rainbow Daytona styled thing. The bezel looks the same. Nothing else looks the same. You know, it's a bit of a leap.
Yeah.
But this is completely nothing to do with Watches and Wonders whatsoever. Honest. This is the 1950 Moonbow watch with rainbow gem set bezel. And it's okay. I don't like the turb that's kind of flying around. Well, there's a couple of reasons I don't like it. One is it's off-centre, so symmetry is knocked out. And the second thing is because they've misspelled seconds.
Have they?
Yeah.
They've put an E in it, seconds.
They've got an E in it. I mean, what's going on, guys?
Also, is it just me or is the tourbillon typeset wrong?
It looks like yourbillon.
That's something wrong with that.
You think?
The spacing's wrong. That does not actually say tour. It says tour Billy space on 60 secondes.
No, I think you're looking at a different photo from the one I've got.
Under the specifications.
Right, that is a mistake. That doesn't look like the photo above it.
Oh, no, I know.
Right,
I know.
Okay. The one you're looking at, it's what is known in the industry as a render.
Yep.
And they have got the spacing wrong. So well done, Rick. You actually spotted something. Good on you.
It's because I've got new screens here and they're enormous.
Right.
So it looks huge.
Nice.
But I quite like this.
Well.
Is that wrong?
It's okay. It's okay.
How big is it? What size is it? It's 42. 40. 40.2. yours for $160,000.
Not bad.
I mean, there you go. So $143,000 on the strap and $160,000 on the gold bracelet. You'd think they'd just throw the... for that kind of money, just give you them both. They're not very generous of them.
So that's the Parmigiani. That's a brand that nobody really talks about because they're overpriced. Moving on.
they're not cheap. Should we talk about some... Can I talk about some good watches from Watches and Wonders? Is that allowed?
But that's what we've been doing for 40 minutes, Rick.
Either I could just give some cultural recommendations instead.
No.
And we could just copy other podcasts.
No. How about we talk about the Reverso in red?
Yeah, not a fan.
No.
I'm falling out of love with the Reverso.
Are you going to return the one that they sent you for free?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
I used to think that this was like the ultimate, or one of the ultimate that you had, you would have to have. I'm now not. I've passed. It's passing me by now.
Why?
I don't know. I think it's the fact that I don't believe the story.
What story was that?
Well, so that they created it so that guys playing polo would have their watches protected because they could just reverse the case over.
See, that's shite, because if a polo ball hit the back of a normal watch, it would knacker the mechanism anyway.
Have you ever played that sport? There is simply no way that that's true. I mean, unless the thing was me, it's just nonsense. I can't imagine. I challenge anybody in Argentina who's currently partaking in the sport, probably illegally. It's probably, although I suppose, like, if your horse is big enough, you probably can keep 2 meters distance from anybody else. But although they use ponies, they don't use real horses. So
the story is pish, therefore you don't like the watches.
Yeah, I think so.
But you've still got a Bremont.
No, but that's a true story.
Okay.
I think. Is it not? Don't rob me of that belief.
Don't, Sam will unsubscribe. Right, okay. Scrolling. So this one is the Reverso One Red Wine. You're not a drinker, are you?
Mm-mm.
But your main man, JC, he created a lot of that wine stuff at one point, did he not?
You think that upon the end of times and the great trumpets out in the sky, that JC is going to arrive wearing a Reverso?
I think so.
In red, because of the wine reference.
Yeah, of course.
Okay. But interesting. I mean, it's a category that in everybody else's coverage of Watches and Wonders, no one has covered.
Really?
Which is, which one of these watches is actually an apocalypse watch?
Mm-hmm.
Which, if it's the last, okay, maybe put it this way, if it was the last watch you were ever going to wear, which one of these would you choose?
Well, it wouldn't be this one, but I quite like it. I think it's pretty cool, because ties in with something else and the very weird things are going on. But remember back in, I think it was February time, maybe February, March, we did a recording of the talk show with Robin from Moritz Grossman.
Yes.
And he showed us a lot of different watches, of which I really only liked maybe one. It looks a bit like this, but obviously it doesn't have the whole reversing function.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
It's called the Cornerstone.
It being rectangular is what you've been...
Rectangular.
In similarity. Yeah.
It looks a bit like a Reverso without the stupidity. No, I like this. I like the dial on it. I've got a thing for red dials because I don't actually have any watches with red, and I'm kind of a bit upset that I didn't grab that Grand Seiko last year. But anyway,
you've got a red G-Shock, you muppet.
Doesn't have a red dial because it doesn't have hands.
All right, just take it off and colour it in.
Oh, I suppose. But anyway, this is nice. So go buy one. Go and see our friend Nick at Mapping and Web, and then take 7 months to pay them. That's an inside joke.
Oh dear. Well, I think it's probably my favourite of it was, believe it or not, an IWC.
Which one, the gold Portuguese or thingy?
The Portuguese Yacht Club Moon and Tide.
Right.
Yours for $30,000.
Oh.
Now, high tide telling watches are actually quite complicated and few and far between, because they need to have the ability to set them locally to where you are. And this one does, which is why it's so expensive. But actually, it's in the same way that chronographs that are supposed to be used for car races are really only used for time and how long it takes to boil an egg. So this yacht club, which tells high tide and low tide, useful for sailing, etc., it'd be quite useful for walking the dogs down the beach to know when the tide was out or when the tide was in. So that's kind of my reasoning, is this would be useful because it would mean I would only go down the beach when the tide was out.
Is that when all the dead bodies roll up?
That's when you find the interesting stuff.
Ah.
So I quite like this. IWC had a pretty decent show, actually, to be honest, although I don't get the idea of making a 40 mil. We did an article, the guys and girls of the writers group wrote an article.
The Royal Wee.
Watches, the Royal Wee. And I can't remember who wrote it off the top of my head. It was commenting on why would you create a 40 mil Portugueser? Because the whole idea of Portuguese, it's supposed to be a big watch. So I don't really get that, but they certainly threw everything they had at it then. Panerai, Vacheron probably won if it was a competition.
The Overseas and Gold?
Overseas and Gold, mm-hmm. Skeletonized, the Les Cabionnaires, Astronomical, Striking, Grand Complication, the Ode to Music one. They did pretty well, and also this traditional tourbillon as well.
Well, you know who else has done pretty well recently? G-Shock, thanks to us, apparently.
Yes.
We got a message through on Instagram from the G-Shock UK guys. They run the gshock.co.uk website. They'd put up saying that they had the Cassioque back in stock, so we reposted it, and immediately got loads of messages from people that had bought them, lots of wrist shots of folks, and then the guys at G-Shock said that they'd sold out, and it was pretty much down to us.
Yeah, I see Hodinkee are also selling G-Shocks now. It really is the end of days, isn't it?
Listen, it's the only thing you can rely on these days is a G-Shock. And they are going to be sending us a couple of, well, I don't even know if these things are going to be out soon, but they're sending us a couple of pre-release prototypes of a couple of their watches to try out.
So, G-Shock, and I don't understand as to why it's taken till now for them to do this, because you'd have thought they would be absolutely quids in this marketplace. But they're finally getting into the exercise market, the wearables market, if you like.
Not the edibles market. Right.
And so this G-Shock, only in Canada, and so this G-Shock is, you know, it's got the pulsometer on it. It's, I think it'll do VO2 max, so it'll do pace, all the rest of it.
You sound so like you know what you're
fitness,
talking about
fitness
there.
Tracker. I do vaguely know what I'm talking about. Hmm. So this is their attempt at a fitness tracker to take on Apple, and more appropriately, to take on Garmin.
Right.
Now you would think if you were faced with buying a Garmin or buying a G-Shock, and both of them could do the same technical things exercise-wise, you'd buy the G-Shock, wouldn't you?
I'd zoned out. What was the question?
If your option was between a G-Shock and a Garmin and they both did the same thing, you'd buy the G-Shock.
What's a Garmin? No, my Garmin for me used to be the guys that would make the GPS systems before your phone had
exactly.
one. So when Adrian would get caught up Ben Nevis somewhere in cycling shorts, he'd have some kind of idea to tell the people to come rescue him where he was.
And flip-flops, don't forget the flip-flops.
Well, one would have fell off as he tried to cross the river.
It would just be the flip he would have. He wouldn't have the flop.
No.
Or maybe we'd have the flop and not have any flip. But that's just a vicious rumour.
Indeed. So, yeah, I've definitely G-Shock. So they are bringing these things out, and we're going to be getting them hopefully in the next couple of days. It is, as I say, prototype. It's beta software. But, yeah, we're going to give that a shot and see what it's like. Hold up. What's the latest here in the UK? Because Bojo popped up. No, Wee Nippy popped up and says, hold your horses, guys. Nothing's changing. Then Bojo popped up and went, hey, the worst is past. Next week, we're going to tell you all the good news.
No, this is, my prediction is, I mean, there's simply no way that they can let everybody loose until they can test everybody and test everybody regularly.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to have to be able to get either a vaccine, in which case problem solved. And if they can't get a vaccine, they're going to have to come up with some way that they can effectively test 3 or 4 million tests a day. Because what you're going to have to do, if it was me, this is what I would do. I would be gearing up so that you can test effectively everyone in the UK once a week. But I think realistically, they're going to have to be able to give everybody tests on a very regular basis so that as soon as somebody tests positive, they can use tracking to track everybody.
You know what they need to do? This is a got it. They need to consult the porn industry, because the porn industry tests their actors and actresses on an ongoing basis for HIV, and that's a virus.
Right, okay. I mean, I suppose we could all move to California.
Mm-hmm.
It's always an option.
Yep.
I don't like earthquakes, that's the only thing.
Oh, it's a shame.
So I don't think we're getting out of this in any meaningful way anytime soon. I mean, like, seriously, like next year.
I reckon it'll be a year before things get to 80% of what we were used to. But I think next week we'll be allowed the smaller gatherings thing, because they've got a hell of a lot.
I think it'll only be family.
Well, we're all family. I mean, does that know what Christianity's all about?
Do we think hashtag watch fam could mean something
watch
else?
Fam. There we go.
It's okay. This is my family because they collect Rolex as well.
There we go. We're all brothers and sisters.
Brothers and sisters and watches.
Yes, that'll be Kumbaya will be sung at the campfire.
Yeah.
Now, I think next week we'll be allowed a little bit more because all these hospitals are sitting vacant. All these extra things that have popped up, they are not really busy either. But it's. Yes, I said this to someone, this is the equivalent of the human Y2K bug. Mm-hmm. On the run-up to Y2K, everybody shat themselves and thought, oh my God, end of days, stroke of midnight, planes will fall out of the sky. But for the couple of years before that, clever people like me were upgrading computer systems and putting all the things in place so that it came, it went, and it wasn't as bad as people thought. But if that hadn't been done, if the preparation hadn't been put in place, it would have been cataclysmic.
Yep.
So I think we've kind of managed to avoid the hundreds of thousands, millions and all the rest of it that some people had predicted, but they need to start letting people out because there's already been riots and all kinds of stuff in London, Manchester and a few other places that is getting kept out of the media, but people in the police are talking about...
You're sounding like a conspiracy theorist.
Well, I would if I didn't have messages from police officers... That's not a conspiracy, that's fact. But no, and even there was some stuff. Is it Eric Nielsen who wrote an article for us?
Yes.
Now he's an actual doctor in an actual medical facility, a hospital over in the States, and he's been frontline for decades. And he wrote an article, you know, what to do, maybe a month and a half ago for us. He sent me, now he's an actual doctor in an actual place with qualifications and experience. And he sent
certificates.
He's got certificates in his wall, not just ones he's printed off Google Images like you. And he sent me a couple of YouTube videos that had already been sent to me by more fringy pals. And that doesn't mean people that haven't been to the hairdresser for a month.
Hairdressers, I was going to say.
I got in there before you. But these videos, it's a couple of doctors in Bakersfield, California that have their own practice. Mm-hmm. And they basically said, you're probably doing everybody more harm than good the way things are just now, because people aren't getting out, they're not getting fresh air, they're not getting exercise as much as you can do an hour a day, and people's immune systems are not being opened up to the general germs and toxins of day-to-day life, which means when you go out there, your immune system is going to get attacked by everything that's not experienced for the past 2 months or more, and you're going to have all these secondary issues. So quite an interesting video that's already been taken down by YouTube, even though it was from ABC News.
But the question is, are you actually enjoying this? Is this better?
I'm bored now. I'm bored.
Are you bored now?
My garden is... It could win awards, right? And
do you need me to send you some seeds?
Listen, I don't want you spreading your seeds anywhere, Rick. You just keep them to yourselves. We've had enough now.
We've had enough. That's it.
We've had enough. Ricky says...
Take the ball and go home. Ricky says...
Had enough. Anyway, back to watches before we finish this shit.
Yes.
So, a couple more things to chat about. Now, you like Panerai.
I do.
Other people don't like Panerai.
Mm-hmm. Although, I see that the Catlins are starting to become converts as well. I tell you, it is the natural trajectory of every podcaster that eventually you buy the clever one in the group, because most podcasts have two people. It's the natural progression that eventually the clever one in the show goes and buys a Panerai. So, two boat watch snobs, Michael went and bought a Panerai. 10 and 2, Cartoon Cat's going to go and buy a Panerai. I'm telling you, it's just the natural progression.
So, what you're saying is that I'm going to go and buy a Panerai?
No. No, I think you know that's not what I'm saying.
But if you're saying, you know, that the clever one goes and buys a Panerai, I mean, you bought one ages ago before they were cool. So, anyway, never mind.
I'm what's made them cool in the podcasting community.
If you're a calendar that says January, eventually in 12 months, you're going to be right again.
I did see someone with a watch that they'd taken, like, the kind of Mont Blanc thing of having a 24-hour dial, and instead it just said on it Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And it was that inaccurate, because frankly, that was all that mattered.
Rick,
sorry,
is this not a meme that I put on our Instagram page?
I don't think so.
It was like a desktop printed out calendary type thing.
I don't think I've seen that one.
Yeah, sure. Okay. Anyway, Panerai have released some watches that don't look shit. They've got Luminor Lunarossa, which is a GMT, 44mm. Looks like a bit of a meteorite dial thingy going on there. Sandwichy.
Okay.
There was a whole load. There was some really nice loomed affairs came out as well. And then Sophie decided that she didn't like their advertising.
Yes. So you need to go to the website and have a look at this article. Article is called Loom and Gloom on the website. And basically, Sophie had spotted that there was quite a similar advertising campaign between Panerai's new releases at Watches and Wonders and a French Porsche 911 advertising. Turns out there might be some commonality in some of the people involved. So go and check out the article and let us know what you think. But what you just said there is that Panerai have just have released some now good watches, but they all look the same. So if they look good now, it means they all looked good because they're all identical.
Don't tell me, Rick. They've all got dials and hands.
And they're not minging.
They're not minging. So anyway, there
maybe
we go.
That's what you get. Okay, so what is the? There we go. There's we were in search for a criteria for Watches and Wonders. Which is the least minging watch, and what is the most minging watch that's been released?
I'd say the most minging watch I've seen is the NASA G-Shock that came out.
Oh, you mean the gift shop watch?
Yeah, the sort of the cloy arm machine you get at the arcade. And it goes along, and then it goes along the sideway, and then it misses what you're actually after, and it picks up a shit watch that's worth a quid. Yep, that one.
Uh-huh, that's the one. Just to show that we're not in G-Shock's pocket.
Yeah.
I seem to recall they messaged us, mm-hmm, inferring that one of us was consistently mean to them, and you have then
spent several
paragraphs saying that it's me. It's not me that's mean to them, it's always you.
I've never been mean to G-Shock. No, because you said you said the G3PO looked like shit.
Yeah, those were the exact words I used.
Paraphrasing, they looked like compost.
I think you said it live on your Instagram Live unboxing.
I didn't say it was shit. Why would I buy it?
They were watching.
No, I said the red one looked like Ann Summers dildo red.
Yeah, I think that might be interpreted as the same kind of attitude.
No, that's a good thing.
Is that your favourite?
It's my favourite colour of Ann Summers dildo.
Okie dokie. Right. Anyway, so yeah, just to show that we're not in G-Shock's pockets, I think it was a step too far.
Looks like a BBG.
The NASA one. What's it called?
Unimatic.
The Unimatic one, that looks cool. This is a step too far. This is one step beyond. Should have been left on the soundstage in California. And no steps forwards for G-Shock.
So this isn't one small step for man, no small steps for G-Shock? No. No? Okay.
No small step, no.
If you didn't hear the last episode with Floatlight, it's all about, well, I wish it was all about NASA and space, but we got about 10 minutes worth of that, and then he didn't actually speak about the watch that I wanted him to spill his guts about.
Yeah, so did you ask him as to how, what, like, actually, I know you didn't ask him because I've listened to the podcast.
I might have asked him, might have cut it out.
Did you ask him then about how limited the new limited edition Snoopy was going to be?
No, he wouldn't tell me anything about it, right? He was surprised I knew the date it was coming out.
That's on Instagram.
I know that.
They announced it.
I know that, but it was still like black magic. It was like when Ayrshire got electricity. Okay. So there's okay. That. The Cassie Yoke. Have you heard of this?
No.
The Cassie Yoke is the Cassie Oak, mm-hmm, in yellow. And
okay.
I think that one is still available to buy on the G-Shock website. I don't know if Portals have got those guys in stock, but my, mm-hmm, buddy Nairn, whose kid did an intro for us a while back,
he's actually getting one.
And he is...
All right, cool.
Oh, he is just... You would cut him and he would bleed Rolex, and he's a way to get a Casio. Even Martin at Martin's of Glasgow, Martin Walport, he got a Casio a while back as well. It seems to be the digital watch that turns the tide. Again, Martin's in our Facebook group and was answering some, mm-hmm, questions the other day when people were looking to get their watches fixed and serviced, because all the, mm-hmm, the local places are closed. So if you're in the UK, he actually does mail order. You can file your watch to him and he can sort it out. So jump on our Facebook group, free plug for that. I've removed the questions because people were just getting confused. So you can just wander in willy-nilly and chat with, I think it's about 1,300 of us in there, all talking crap about watches.
So what you're saying is we're now letting people into the Facebook group that don't know that the plural of Lego is Lego.
It's come to that sad, sad time.
It's going to become like open season in that Facebook group.
I know. Well, I'm willing to take the chance because I'm sitting here doing nothing else all day apart from moderating.
You can moderate it.
Yeah. It's only the Yanks that give us trouble anyway. I've said this before.
To be fair, it's pretty standard, isn't it?
It is. I mean, they'll have their independence shenanigans happening in a couple of months and they'll be shooting guns and blowing fingers off left, right and centre, so it's all good. But before we close up, because we're already running a little bit long, a couple of things to tell you about is please go and follow us on Instagram. We are looking to hit that 10,000 mark, not because we get cocaine and hookers, that was a bit of a joke. Well, it might, I don't know, but what we do get is the ability to put linked into our stories, so if we post something that's cool to our articles or videos, it will take you straight there instead of the whole go and check our bio and click on something and open an app. So that's a good thing. Other thing is our Moritz Grossman video with Robin Young is now live on YouTube. It's going live tonight. By the time you hear this, it will be live. We're doing a premiere at 8 o'clock. Robin will be in the live chat, so you'll be able to recap people's questions, his answers, and it's a good hour-long chat about how he fell into the rabbit hole of watch collecting just a couple of years ago and has now ended up being the UK agent for Moritz Grossman. He's been across there to the factory many times. Lots of really in-depth watchmaking knowledge about Glashütte, what happened in the city, how Moritz Grossman himself helped build up the industry in the local area, helped basket weavers turn into watchmakers. The fact that some of the watches they put out now have got amazing weird technology, including human hairs inside and wooden parts which are self-lubricating. So it is a really good deep dive on Glashütte technology and watchmaking. So check that out. We will put a link in the show notes.
Yeah, it's a really interesting brand. I've not had the chance to really sit down with collectors of other brands, your Pateks of this world, and speak to them about Moritz Grossman, but clearly they are in that, well, they appear to be in that sort of league.
They're a Chipek.
Of a Langenzona. No, I would say it's further on than that. I mean, they're...
Really?
I would say so, in terms of the finishing. It looks like, you know, it's what Minerva are doing, it's what a Langenzona are doing. I've only seen a Chipek once, but seeing the...
Well, you had a load of a Moritz Grossman from Red Bar.
It was quite something. Had some really interesting tech in it as well for a dress watch, but was a really lovely watch. But some of the, like, the bump winding mechanism in some of them is quite fascinating.
Yeah, I forgot to mention that. That's so, the Hamatic with what looks like a bumper system, a metallic acorn pendulum in the back of the watch, which is the way they used to do it up until the 1950s. Good video.
Cool.
Check it out. And that's pretty much it, really, isn't it?
Cool.
So do you want to lead them out?
Yes, I should lead them out. Go check out all our stuff, YouTube, Facebook, podcast. Leave some comments. Please feel free to leave some comments on the podcast, whatever you're listening to us on. And please go to the website and interact with the articles that are there. The authors of those articles will speak to you, debate what you think. So go and engage with them.
Just don't feed them through the bars.
Just don't feed them through the bars and don't offer to send them anything. Don't accept sweeties from them or puppies or anything like that. They do take alcohol, most of them, some more than others, to be fair. But go, and you'll actually get a chance to speak to some of these guys, and we'll be getting a couple.
Do any of them inject disinfectants?
As I understand it, there's one or two of them I haven't heard from for a while. So I suppose it's possible that that's what they could have done.
Yeah. Well,
hopefully not. I think it's more likely that they have just decided that they don't like us anymore. Anyway, it's goodbye from me.
And it's goodbye from him.
Goodbye.
I seem to recall they mess it. That's all, folks.